This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have got plenty to get into. We have some news for you on a scandal involving Lionel Messi, which I just like saying it that way. It's not as bad as it sounds for him. It's bad for someone.
Well, it's a couple of them because there's actually one involving him that we saw over the weekend.
You're right. There are some scandals involving him. I guess I shouldn't say it doesn't involve him.
It's taxes. Just,
right.
Tax scandals.
Never been a problem before for that guy.
No.
He's... That would be the greatest if they just came out with him on an H&R Block commercial this year.
It would be great, I mean,
for those who, if you know, it would be quite funny. So we've got that. We have got some stuff with the crew cooking. First week of MLS is in the books, and the U.S. Women's National Team is back in action and looking to be as dominant as ever. So we will talk about all that.
Six-time reigning defending.
Yeah, how about that?
Tonight.
Pretty great. Yeah, that's right. By the time you hear this podcast, it may or may not have already happened.
10:30 start.
Yeah, but depending, you know, we'll get it posted and then see if you don't download it immediately, if you listen to this like Friday or something, then you'll know the result.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. How's your week been, Beam?
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good. Planning a big birthday party this weekend for Willie boy, 2 years old, actually next Wednesday. So March 5th, looking forward to that. Going to be a pretty good time. I am kind of bummed, though, because when we were planning, it was I guess, bad planning on my part. Because, since football season and everything, like, we're having different time off, and I haven't gotten a chance to get away yet. So one of my buddies always asks me every year, and really, I've said no every year, but him and his friends go and they take a golf trip. So this year, I'm like, you know what? We were doing our New Year's resolutions. I'm like, one of my goals this year is to take a vacation. Just me. Like, Mare was in Utah. She was skiing a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
She was doing that.
It's good.
I think it's good. I think it's really good and it's healthy just to get away from your house sometimes just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be a trip or whether that be a sporting event or just getting out and doing something by yourself, I think that's great. We've always operated on that. Like,
yeah.
She has her friends. I have my friends. We have our friends that are together, but go and do your own thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I graciously accepted a trip to go play golf at the end of next week.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm looking forward to. We're learning. I'm like, all right, well, William's birthday is the 5th. I'm leaving on this golf trip the 6th. What are we going to do? We need to have a party for him. We can't have it that weekend because I'll be gone. Let's do it the weekend before. So we're having a party this weekend, which he's very obsessed with a multitude of different things now. Like I told you, we were on a big Moana kick.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was good. Toy Story, he's been really liking that. But the thing that has been the most consistent over the last like 3 or 4 months or so has been the Grinch.
Oh, okay.
Like, that dude loves the Grinch. And I'm not talking Jim Carrey Grinch. I'm talking like the 30 to 40 minute animated Grinch.
Oh,
like
yes.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas
was
back
that
in the day.
Burl Ives? Is that?
No. I don't know.
No, I forget. I'm saying the wrong. I forget who. I'm thinking of something else. Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. But
yeah,
yes.
But
the Christmas like cartoon.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You know, like that one, Max dresses up as a reindeer. Like they steal Christmas. And then he's basically the mayor of Whoville. So he's loved that. So now every party that you have for a child, and I don't know if this is the same way when they get older or if you guys are still dealing with this, every party that you have for them has to be a theme.
Uh-huh.
It's like a theme. We're doing theme parties.
Of course.
Like they can't give you any input. He's 2 years old. You know,
no.
He likes what he likes. He doesn't like what he doesn't like. And so it's you on the parent to decide what the theme should be. And we've been going on, like last year was one shining moment because he's turning one March.
That's good.
You know,
yeah,
like that was
nice.
Basketball themed.
Perfect.
It was good. We set up like a bracket of like his pictures, like who was the favorite.
Man,
I'm like, that's good.
This is great.
Yeah. And so this year we're like deciding a theme and I had come up with the idea. I'm like, well, he likes the Grinch about like, what about Welcome to Whoville?
Oh,
like,
beautiful.
Right. So we're having a Grinch themed birthday party in March this weekend.
But you know what? decoration should be cheap.
Yeah, Mayor got everything. We're good. We got like a big backdrop.
All the Grinch stuff. It's like, oh, who wants this? It's old. February now. No one wants this. Yeah, like I do.
Bring it back in, you know, November, December, and then we're really going to be cooking with something. Maybe we can flip it for a profit.
Right.
But in the beginning of this golf trip that I'm going on next week, and in the planning of his party, I am missing out on the Stadium Series game on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't get to go down to the Horseshoe, which I'm pretty bummed about because I think that that's going to be pretty cool. So I guess it was bad planning on our part. Now we will be watching from the friendly confines of Dayton, but we're not even going to be here in town for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We are going to be in town, but we're not going either because we have youth sporting events that are happening and I'm a coach. So I have to be there for that. And it's just, and then like we went to the Jackets game last night. Mm-hmm. And I saw my buddy Peter, who works for the Jackets, and he was like, hey, so where are you sitting? And I was like, we're not going. And the worst
side
part
line
of this,
a basketball game.
Worst part of this is my kids are like, but it's 21 Pilots is going to be there. And I'm like, and I know the reality. The reality is I didn't get tickets early.
Yeah.
And I know it, despite what you may think, given what we do, there's not like a, sit at the, like, go to the luxury box. No. That doesn't happen with us. Now,
with anything.
No, like I will say what the most that happens is like the Jackets every year do give us a pass or an email, and they have someone you can email and say, if you'd like to go to one game this year with a couple tickets, let us know and we'll set you up for that. So I emailed the Jackets because this past evening, Tuesday night's game was Hockey is for Everyone night. And that's an important one for our
against
family.
Stars. It was a good game.
It was a great game and they won, but that was the game that like my kids had also asked, like, can we go to that game? Cause they love the, you know, they wanted to get the pride jerseys. They love the whole thing. It was really cool. And the Jackets, to their credit, I emailed them and said, can I have some tickets for this? And they said, yeah, sure. And they even gave us the jerseys and that was great.
Nice.
So they gave us nice seats. Like we were, you know, in the lower bowl.
Oh,
it was very nice.
When I asked for them tickets last year, they put us up top.
Well, maybe you asked for a bad game. I don't know. Maybe you asked for one where it was like the Penguins are in town. They're like,
I'm
sorry.
Just they put us in very nice
seats.
Yeah,
they do. I know they do. But then we're at this game and they're like, oh, well, you should go to the Stadium Series. Like, we have already got stuff. And they're like, then the kids turn on me and they're like, why are we here? We should have been at this other game. And I'm like, I don't think they were doing it for that game. I don't think I could have gotten that deal for it. Was because it was the game before that where the actually attendance was a little low. And I think it was just because it's not the Penguins, it's not the Red Wings, not one of those teams. And everybody probably who has their Jackets allotted amount of tickets, their games they go to is like,
we want to go to this one.
I'm not going to this Tuesday night game. I'm going to the one Saturday. So we went Oppo Taco and had great seats and had a great time. But then at the game, my kids are just like, yeah, we want to see 21 Pilots. And I'm like, yeah, we'll get there and it'll be 35 degrees and windy and you don't want to be there anymore. And I would have spent $1,000 on tickets for our family. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So, and we would have to like rush everything to like, as soon as the game's over, we'd have to run down, park. Park and walk like a couple miles. Like it would not be close where we would be. I saw some of the parking too, that the NHL, they're like, hey, welcome to hockey, buddy. Like
How much is it?
I think like basic parking around the stadium is somewhere like 40, 50 bucks. Oh, like, yeah. It's
good
it's,
for them.
Right.
Good for them. Good for the kids on Woodruff that can sell their parking spots. Just walk over to the stadium.
Yeah. And they'll probably make some good cash doing that. But yeah, you know, I mean, we all know how to get in and out of that place for a football game, but that's
tell you, pro tip. I'm not gatekeeping.
Yeah.
If you're ever going down, and this probably doesn't help you because you're not on the correct side of town. If you're in the Worthington, Clintonville area, or you can get there, and if you're trying to go to Ohio Stadium and you don't mind a nice walk through campus,
go
straight down Indianola,
mm-hmm.
go right down there. It'll take you all the way, to campus.
Yes.
And then there's street parking on Woodruff, and if you can't find that, it's free parking on Iuka on the ravine. Just walk from there.
Yeah. That's a nice little walk, and
it's beautiful.
That is a perfect situation for like a noon game.
Yeah.
Or even like a 3:30.
Meredith went to the night game against Tennessee, the football game, the playoff game.
Yeah.
And what we did in the morning, since we were thinking about this.
Yeah.
So we took the two cars.
Ah.
She dropped a car there
at
like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Beautiful.
We left it there all day. And then it was escape hatch because she literally took Indianola home. like on the way beautiful. Out. She's like, I was in it. I was out of there by the time, because that was an ass kicking. Mm-hmm. She's like, I mean, we left middle of the fourth quarter. I think she was home before the game even ended.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's the way to, that's, you know what? That's living your best life.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, to get into some of the crew conversation, I have to admit, we did pull, I had a little bit of a similar thing. So the crew, obviously, home opener this weekend.
Yeah, Jackets game, too.
Jackets game was going on, too, at the same time. And I heard afterwards horror stories of people who were, like, stuck in all that traffic as everything's getting out around the same time in the arena district. It's a lovely area. I think they do a tremendous job with it. I don't know that there is any way you can solve the problem of when two 20-plus thousand-seat places or 20,000 roughly seat places
you get 35,000
are emptying
people.
Out. Yeah. Like, you're just, it's just a lot of people to move in an area that's not exactly designed for that. It's designed to have people walking around. It's not necessarily to get all your cars out very quickly.
Yeah.
So they do the best they can with that, right? But I go and I'm looking at the tickets and I realized, all right, it's cold. My wife and I are going. My sister-in-law, Katie, got us these tickets for Christmas, which was very nice of her. And so we went and I'm looking at Melissa and I'm like, you know, it's going to be cold. And she's like, I don't know if I can stay for the whole thing. And I said, I get it. So let's just play it by ear. But I saw that Astor Park garage.
Yeah.
That I don't know what that other building's going to be, but they have that little garage there. And so they had parking there for like $20. And I'm like, this is right next to the stadium.
Literally right across the street from it.
Well, then my brain kicked in and said, if we stay for this whole thing, end of the game, everyone's going to be walking out. And then I'm going to have to go from the long end of what Nationwide Boulevard to get out. It's going to be a nightmare because there's just going to be foot traffic and people. And so then I realized, but we're not probably going to stay for the whole thing. We're probably going to be cold, probably going to leave in the 60th minute. We aren't going to have any traffic to deal with. And that's exactly what happened.
Nice.
We left just after the fourth goal and saw that. And we were like, okay, it's 4-2. We're going to count that as good. And we're going to say job done.
Goodbye.
And we're going to listen on the way home to the other radio station that has it now because we don't have it anymore.
I don't know what station that is.
It's 105.7. It's iHeart. It's their, they have it. Let them live. Good for, I like hearing Chris Dorn. I don't, you know, wherever, Chris Dorn could be on Satan Network and I would listen. I don't care. I'll follow that man anywhere. But yeah, so it was good. We got out and it was fine. But the game itself, I was really concerned after the first few minutes. I mean,
squeaky bum time.
Oh man, when everything we talked about on this podcast.
By the way, before we like jump into the actual game,
yeah,
give Chicago some time. Give him some time. Bamba's gonna be a superstar.
Dude. Yeah,
he's gonna be, man. But let's check back
They've
in on him.
They've got some guys. Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to do like a weekly or monthly check-in on the fire.
Oh, we can do that.
Let's check in July to see what he's doing out there.
Yeah. Oh, we can do that for sure. I mean, as much as I hate him, I hate Chicago. We hate the Red Bulls too. We hate DC United, but Columbus, we love you. That's the chant. I also, where I was seated, and again, my sister-in-law, she doesn't know where everybody sits, but as soon as I saw these tickets, I thought, all right, that's going to probably be right next to their supporter section, and it's their opener.
Yeah.
They probably are going to travel. Chicago fans usually travel well to here. It's one of their closest games. And sure enough, that their section was full, their little supporter section.
Good.
And everything you've ever thought about the Chicago Fire fans having like two chants and that's it and just being annoying as hell is accurate. They do not have any imagination whatsoever, and it just was the same. Chicago Fire! It's just that. That's why we do the piss on the fire chant, because it's mocking that chant, because it's all they chant, like, all game. So when they got their first goal, it was very disappointing, because I'm like, I can't.
Uh-oh.
I can't.
That's
I can't
what I said.
Sit here.
I think I audibly went, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, because the crew got kind of crude.
Yeah, they did.
A little bit, right? Where they, I mean, a version of the crew. Sometimes we play that game where we let the other team have it, and then we go and just, you get sucked in too much, and then you get beat down the other way, but they were so tantalizing in the back. The crew were like looking at Chicago going, they're going to give this up every freaking time. If we jump them, like, we can get the ball. And then they started doing it a little too much.
And then they did.
And then eventually that was a correct strategy. But initially they got caught out on a couple of, you know, just, they were really trying to get that first goal and then they got exposed and it.
And then they
the
tried
way.
To get a second goal that way and JRR and Zawadzki were there and then you're even. And then you get split again. And then he had an own goal.
And then, that own goal was.
And then it was crew time.
Yeah. Then, oh, well, and I'll tell you, like, Diego Rossi you know, there are some places you can go now and look on the gambling sites where they do the MLS futures for Golden Boot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be a, I'm not saying put the mortgage on it, but I'm saying throw $10 on Diego Rossi winning the Golden Boot. Could be a thing. Not because he scored two goals in this game, but just because this team does score. They scored four goals in this match.
Yeah.
I know one was an own goal, and one of them came from just absolutely atrocious play in the back for Chicago, but Diego Rossi is probably going to be involved in a lot of goal contributions.
Oh, a ton.
And well, until
he has to be.
I mean, there's no other option. Until there's reinforcements brought in, I mean, he obviously senses this moment, and that's not a bad opportunity, a bad thing to look at, because I think I saw he was at like plus 1,200 or plus like 120 to 1 to win Golden
Boot. Oh, wow.
Not 12 to 1. Not 12 to 1. Like 120 to 1 to win Golden
Boot. Christian Ramirez was like 29 to 1.
Yeah, right, with L.A. now. But, yeah, that's – I'm just – if you can find him like that at plus 100 to 1 odds, I mean, that might be worth throwing a little 10, 20 bucks on.
And you get
a
header on your bingo card, which I didn't have. For Saturday night.
When I saw him rise up, I thought, because it was kind of down in front of where we were. We ended up grabbing a ledge and sitting with the drink and the food and just kind of watching from there.
That's what I do when I go to that building. I love it. Well, I don't even sit in my seats.
No, I don't blame you. It's nice to have the ledges. I like it. It's a beautiful adaptation to the soccer stadium. It's great. But we were standing right above the corner flag where that corner got served in. And as it goes in, I mean, it happens so quick, but I'm like, well, if I didn't know any better, like I'm saying in the moment it goes in my head, I'm like, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that was Diego Rossi that just jumped up and got a header.
He was wide.
He was all of like 5 foot five. Well, and you know, at my angle, it looked like he jumped in up above all these people. Right. Then I see him running over doing the, I don't know if that was the one where he's doing the dinosaur art, but like he was running over the corner. I'm like, oh, I think it was him. And then I saw the replay and I'm like, oh, he's got 3 yards
great
either side of him.
By Marrera.
Fantastic ball. Yeah. Well done. But yeah, this team, it was good to see them take Chicago the way they should. Chicago will probably be better at some point this year, but it's going to take them a little while. And they were rusty, clearly. They didn't know what they were doing playing out of the back a lot. So the Crew were able to take advantage of that at times, and that's what they should do. They have a lot of tougher tests coming, but good start to the season.
Yeah, I think it was an A. I mean, you obviously have some things that you're going to want to work on this week. Before you get ready to head to New England and take on Caleb Porter. You like how he's the last two coaches you just get immediately at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I know, right?
Greg and Caleb and the doubleheader and the double feature there. But yeah, I think it was a really good performance. I mean, again, two gifted goals. Jason Russell Rowe on the first one has to put it away still. Like that's not done.
That's right.
Second one was a gift. And then I thought really the game changed when Marrera decided that, all right, and I don't know if that was, obviously I think it was a tactic that was deployed by Wilf, but as soon as he decided that, all right, I'm going to kick up a gear and, you know, go hang out on the front side of this right side.
Yeah.
That they kind of turned it on. I mean, that's your MLS Defender of the Year. I think that right side was a weakness of Chicago's and they were really exploiting it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that was, it seemed like they got everything they wanted over there. I thought Shambu had an okay game. Like I thought he was all right. Like, which I know he's played some, but it just, he's always been kind of one of those afterthought, well, hopefully he'll kind of be a part of things if someone gets hurt or whatever, but it's
he was a sub.
Yeah, but now he's going to be someone who has a little bit more of an opportunity, especially given where they're at offensively. So I thought he was all right, but you're right. Steve Marrera absolutely changed the game a bit. And that's what I like about this Crew team is you're going to see guys like him play, you know, obviously up in the final third a lot. He carries the ball a lot through, which is nice. It's almost like having another, because even though he plays kind of out wide, I mean, in a three-back system, what is wide, but you know what I'm saying? It's like having a guy who's more of like a standard six who can just kind of like, he can do some stuff through the middle with some nice passes and all that, but he's also got that wingback ability to make those plays and beat people off the dribble. And he can then just also direct traffic in the back if he has to. If it's that type of game where they just really need him defensively, he can go mark someone and kind of shut him down. So, yeah, he's still one of the best players on the team. And you can see he has – as of, it doesn't look like he's lost much in this offseason.
No.
Looks like this is the Steve Marrera we need on this team.
Yeah, especially, too. I mean, defensively, I think they were they were okay towards the end. There were some moments, though.
Sure. You know? Oh, yeah. It's nervy, and that's the thing I believe with this team that's going to probably also need to be addressed. Like we've discussed.
100%. So we're watching the game. First 45 minutes, the Apple TV broadcast wasn't letting me listen to Chris, which I was pretty upset about.
Yeah.
And then after halftime, it kicked in, and I was a happy camper. I said this to Meredith as we're watching the game. I'm like, I need to retrain my brain and my eyeballs because we hadn't seen this team since, what, November? November, right. October. It's been a while. I needed to retrain my anxiety level and my brain and my eyes to, like, watch how they play. Because right, there were a couple right. times in the back, I'm like, get the ball out of there. And then I say to myself, wait a minute, this isn't what they do. So, but this is what they do.
I
need to relax.
Yeah, this is it's like watching someone.
It's a high wire act.
Right, exactly. Working without a net is kind of how they that's how they play. And you have to remind yourself, it's like I've seen them do like a triple backflip and land it on that high wire with no net. And this is part of their act. This is what they do. But there are times where you're like, my God, they're about to, they're passing it right in front of the. But what's fun is now when you watch other teams, because I know it's not just Wilfried Nancy. This has been a thing. If you go watch some of the biggest clubs in the world, they're adopting this style of play. It has been a thing the last couple of years in soccer. But Wilfried Nancy has been probably the most dedicated disciple to this way of thinking.
And one of the best at it.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And getting results, too. But it's fun to watch, like, I mean, I remember Greg Berhalter being here. I don't remember them playing out of the back that much when Greg was here. Like, not like this. Not Chicago was like.
Caleb, you were in the back.
No, but it was boring. And it was like, let's just kick the ball around. And there was nothing like, you weren't dangling like bait for them to come and get, right? That's all it is. It's you're fishing for them to get out of position. And Chicago was doing that more than I expected initially. From a team that's coached by Greg Berhalter. I didn't really expect that, but that's kind of one of those things that I was shocked to see. And then saw that they couldn't do it well, and I said, oh, yeah, that's right. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that. Like, it did work a couple times. I mean, it got us out of position, but it also cost them a few times. Yeah. So
I guess you're playing the game of numbers with that.
Yeah, and Rossi, I mean, one of his goals came off another bad turnover in the back third, and they were able to capitalize. But it's if you don't have the players to capitalize on that, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, the one that Jason Russell Rowe had, that one, you're right, he had to finish it. And I'll tell you, like, I don't want to harp on him. He has so much potential. But, like, first 5 minutes of the game, there was a ball that, I mean, you have seen Premier League games in person, right? You've been over there for, you been to Premier League? Yeah, you have, of course. I have only seen, like, Premier League teams play in exhibitions here. But, like, I've talked about seeing Mo Salah. And I've seen that dude chase down balls, and I'm like, there's no way he's getting to that. Not a chance. And then he just doesn't give up on anything, fights for everyone. There are times with Jason Russell Rowe where I'm like, again, not fair to compare him to Mo Salah.
Yeah.
But
fair comparison.
There's times where I say, you're giving up on this too quickly. And I get it. He probably wouldn't get there, but I want him to run that defender all the way to the ball. So the defender has a chance to screw up and accidentally maybe give us a corner kick or something. Yeah. And so
that's what Cucho did really well too.
Yeah. Put a lot of pressure on you. I mean, there are times where they just cannot get to them.
Sure.
There was one in the first 5 minutes where I'm like, he could have at least made that difficult for the defender and really made him run it all the way out of bounds. And I just, those are the type of things I hope he learns to do, because if he can add that to his game, that's what, you know, Christian Ramirez would do stuff like that. Like, it puts pressure on their defense, and I hope that he'll pick that up. But I was glad to see him get a goal.
Yeah.
Because that should help boost his confidence level too. And we're going to need him, right? We're going to need him to be excellent this year. So, yeah.
All in all, though, very successful outing, I think.
Yeah.
Game number one, worried about where the goals are going to come from. You score four of them. You know, like, okay, it's pretty good. We'll see what happens this week in New England. Again, at this point of the year, whether you've listened from the show from 5 years ago or from 2 years ago, I think you and I, we obviously have the questions. Not going to break down like the game and the X's and O's leading into every week. This is a situation where you and I both look at these early season games and say, okay, let's see what this looks like in like 10 game increments.
Yeah, and it's also, it doesn't hurt to, before you get into Champions Cup play, League Cup and all that stuff, which I know that they stopped the season for that, but Like, it doesn't hurt to get points now when you're at your you're at the healthiest you're going to be all year, probably. You don't have all the weapons you thought you were going to have, but, you know, go stack up points as much as you can now, and then try to run and hide with that thing and see if you can be in that top four spot or even competing for a supporter shield. But it you can't go out and give away points. And, like, you know, going on the road against New England, that's one where, yeah, New England was a bad team last year. I don't think they will be as bad this year. I think Caleb Porter will have them playing better, but you need to get a point,
yeah,
at least, right? That's the expectation. So, yeah, we'll see how it looks this week. And it was one game sample size. We're not going to get put them in supporter. I know I did just say go bet Diego Rossi to win Golden Boot, but again, that's more taking a flyer on a guy who has an outside chance of maybe scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah,
you know, but Messi's going to have to get hurt, and, you know, just like there's a lot of other guys that would probably have to not play well or leave the league or something.
I watched some of that Champions Cup game last night where they're playing Kansas City. By the way, the Crew drew LAFC because LAFC beat the Pids.
The Pids.
Yeah,
the crap pids.
Yeah, yes. So that's who you have in Champions Cup coming up next week. So you're in LA coming up next Tuesday, and then the following, I think if my dates are right, it's like the 4th and the 11th.
Okay.
8:30 kick at lower.com field on the 11th of March is like the return leg. Because next leg, you're already into it. I mean, you're in to the round of 16, but I was watching some of the Sporting Kansas City and the Miami game last night, and there was, first of all, Messi scores the goal. Like, all right, well, that's pretty tough to defend against because this ball gets played to him. He, like, chests it down. He's outside of the box, and he just rips one with his rocket left foot. I'm like, all right, there's not a lot of guys in this league that can do that.
There are a lot of guys in the world that can do that.
I'll give you your applause for that one, fine, sir. Like, good job. And then Kansas City was really, like, putting it on. Like, they had chance after chance after chance corner, and it felt like they were going to score a goal. Like, there was going to be 2-1 on aggregate. Like, they were going to try to push for a second. Like, you knew that a Kansas City goal was coming. And then all of a sudden, they had, like, two really disastrous mess-ups, and it was 3-0. Like, in the snap of a finger. Right?
Yeah. Like, you can't. No, that is the thing with Inter-Miami is the pressure they put on you to not – like, you have to play a perfect game to beat them just because you know they've got probably two goals before they even start.
Yeah.
You can just bet on one from Messi if he's healthy. And probably him setting up someone else. That's just like his goal contributions are insane when you count the number of games he's played versus what he's actually done in this league. Question always with him is, can he stay healthy? And this year he doesn't have, you know, I mean, I know they were, you know, and was that, when did he get the ankle?
Copa America.
Beat up? That's right. Copa America, right? Where they were, I mean, fighting for everything and he had the ankle.
I thought he was done. I said this to you off the air. I said, he is done.
Yeah. It looked like it. Right. I mean, it was a bad deal there, but he ended up getting back, and obviously
looks very coiffed this year.
Yeah, he did. He got a little bit of a haircut.
Yeah.
So we'll get to more on Messi in a second. I also wanted to bring up, I watched a little bit of MLS on Sunday. I watched the inaugural game for San Diego as they played the LA Galaxy, who are raising their sixth title, which, just know, here's my rooting interest going forward in MLS. It is, I want any team that has not, if the Crew aren't winning MLS Cup, let me preface it. I want the Crew to win MLS Cup. Once they're eliminated from the playoffs, I want teams that have not won an MLS Cup that are not named FC Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I would root for that.
What about Austin?
Oh, no, not them. Don't worry.
Okay.
they've got it handled themselves. We're not talking about that. But after that, then what I want is whoever is playing any of the teams that have more MLS Cups than us to beat them.
Okay.
Because I am obsessed with the idea that the Crew at some point must overtake the Galaxy, and now we have to get three more to tie them. Can't have the Galaxy winning any more MLS Cups. I'm sorry, just not allowed.
Sorry, Christian Ramirez. No more for you.
No, sorry. I wish you all the best.
You don't
I like
need
you
any more. You're good.
Yeah, you've won plenty. So when I saw San Diego go out there and take it to the LA Galaxy 2-0, I enjoyed that quite a bit, and I thought that was great. I know they have some injuries they're dealing with and all that, but that what's his name? Anders Dreyer for San Diego FC.
Good signing.
Scored both their goals, but their second goal, if you haven't seen this, it was clearly like they caught LA just trying. They're all pressed up. They're all trying to get something to tie this game up late, and they catch him on a counter. San Diego does, and Anders Dreyer just plays a brilliant first ball and then runs like it was one of those Wayne Rooney runs. Mm-hmm. It's like just 80, 90 yards where he's just down the field. And the guy that he played it to plays him an amazing, like, through ball outside of the boot that kind of curves Oppo Taco the way you think it would when you kick it that. Like, it was just a brilliant ball. He ran right onto it, finished 2-0. See you later, L.A. It was great.
I liked how the San Diego supporters were there in pretty full throat, too.
Like, oh, I think that's going to be a fun rivalry.
Yeah.
I mean, once they become like a real franchise, but, you know, Galaxy have been around for 30 years. This is their inaugural season.
Well, they'll get the inaugural season bump, too.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A lot of teams in MLS.
They will, yeah. But I think, like, that whole thing, as much as I know that there's the issues, right, with that San Diego franchise, there was a San Diego team that was, I think, a USL team or whatever, that they just got squashed, so MLS could be like, nope, this other team is the MLS team now.
I saw that they, I follow something called Transfer Deadline Day or something like that, you know. It's not quite as in-depth as Fabrizio Romano, like, but it'll go through some news and headlines. And it does look like San Diego is going to get a boost this summer, too, by signing Manchester City midfielder Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh.
I read that this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's we'd heard things.
I saw that, and I found that to be interesting.
Me too, buddy. Me too. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm kind of glad that's not happening. I'm kind of,
for them. It sounds like it's happening.
No. For whoever else might have been interested.
Okay. Yeah.
I kind of think that would not.
He's
have
washed,
been
anyways.
Yeah. He's washed.
You watch him against Liverpool.
Yeah. Now I'm sure he'll come here and maybe play a little better. But whatever. We were talking about Messi a second ago. Guys that we thought might not be able to hack it in this league, and I hate to break it to you, he can.
Yeah. No, he's pretty good.
He can break it in any league he wants to. The question is, can he do it the entire season?
He dropped that laser last night. I dropped my head. I'm like, what do you do?
what do you do
against that?
Nothing you can. You just have to be better. Like, you have to be better. You have to win 3-2.
Yeah.
You have to be able to break them down. And they're good. I mean, Inter Miami is going to be one of the toughest teams again this year if everyone stays healthy. That's their big question. Like every team, but they just have questions because half their roster feels like it's over 30.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they stay healthy.
I hope Luis Suarez, like, makes it through the season. Like, he barely looks like he can walk.
I know. Yeah, it's – I mean, I don't really hope for anything for that guy because he kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, not as a player, but as a human. Just not my guy. But
– Understood.
Like, yeah, I mean –
You don't need to explain that to me.
Sure, that's fine. But I did see the messy little controversy that we had found here, that you had found. CONCACAF has opened disciplinary action against Ortiz Nava.
Your guy.
After the 36-year-old referee approached Lionel Messi at the final whistle of Inter Miami's CONCACAF Champions Cup 1-0 win against Sporting Kansas City.
Now,
that
this was
the
first leg, the
that
cold
was the,
game.
The freezing game. The can he do it on a frozen field in Kansas City game.
A Wednesday night in Kansas City.
And Messi did do that. He asked for his autograph for a family member with special needs. Okay. I can understand. I will defend this ref slightly. I can understand how the ref is saying, hey, this is not for me. This is for someone in my family who has special needs, and I would like to get that person something that I have access to you. I could talk to you. Unfortunately for referees,
mm-hmm.
This is the one job where it is completely unacceptable to ask any of the players for their autograph,
right,
regardless of why you're asking. Now, I'm quite sure if someone from his family wrote a letter to Messi and just said hi and didn't say, like, my, you know, uncle or whoever's a referee or whatever. Like, if someone from the family wrote and asked and Messi then signed him something, that's totally different to me personally. But you going up to him and asking him for that.
It's just like you mentioned it. It's the one thing you can't do it.
No.
I don't care if it's soccer. I don't care if it's football, baseball, basketball, cricket.
Absolutely.
Rugby. Like, you just can't.
No.
It's the optics. And not to say that anything nefarious was ever going to happen, or, oh, this guy was so nice to me and my family that, you know, the next time he's not going to get calls, or he is going to get calls, whatever. Like, he doesn't need that. He's Lionel Messi. I mean, he's already going to be ref different than 99% of the players who have ever set foot on planet Earth. Like, it's just, that's just the way of the world. And you watch the NFL and you see Patrick Mahomes gets refereed different than, like, Justin Fields does. It's just, it's different.
Yeah.
But it's the one profession that you can't do this. I don't think there was any nefarious intent, but I understand that you got to be punished for it because of the optics of it.
Yeah. This is a story, though, that has happened in soccer for years.
Countless times.
Yeah. One of the most notable examples that involved the Crew was back in the day when the Crew playing the Fire, Cuauhtemoc Blanco, Mexican legend, playing for the Chicago Fire. He and Gino Padula had quite a few battles. And there was a game where Gino Padula went in, got a good tackle on Cuauhtemoc Blanco, and the referee gave him a red card, sent him off, and sent off Gino Padula. And it was a pretty egregious call and came out later. I don't remember if it was at that, at the conclusion of that game or at the conclusion of some other game he was reffing with Blanco, but it came out later that this referee, Jair Marufo, had asked Messi for a jersey.
Not Messi.
Messi, why did I say that? Asked Cuauhtemoc Blanco for a jersey and like went, if I'm remembering correctly, I think he went in to like the Fire locker room after the game.
Hey, you can't do that.
Right. And it was, that was found out and he got suspended for a while for that. And I think he went on to still referee a ton of games, but yeah, that goes back to 2008, 2009, I want to say, is when that happened. Right around the championship time for the Crew and when they were at their height with winning supporter shields and all that.
You
back
just can't
in that
do
era.
It.
No, just, and you should get suspended for it. I don't, even if it is, again, it sounds like this dude's heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
I can totally understand, you know, in this business, I have asked for things for people. Like, I don't like to ask for autographs. I don't really, that's not my thing.
Same.
But I have friends and family who that is their thing. And if I have to embarrass myself a little bit for them, yeah, to make their day, I would do that. But I can't ever have it be something that compromises my job. And this does compromise your job when you're a referee. It's just.
He's still young. He's 36 years old. Served the 6 months and then realize that you can never do that again.
Yeah. CONCACAF said he's suspended from working CONCACAF games for 6 months.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Like if that just means CONCACAF specific competitions or if it means any game in CONCACAF, like an MLS game or a Liga MX game. I'm not sure. But either way, that's the disciplinary action that's going on there. Then we've also got, we can kind of transition to a few other things here, Beamer, if you want to. We can talk about your guy, Mo Salah. I know you love him.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
What else do you want me to say about it? I mean, the records that he's breaking, he's had a goal or an assist in like every single game this year for Liverpool. He's the fourth or fifth highest like Premier League scorer of all time. Like whatever it is this year that he's doing. And we've talked about Mo Salah and Liverpool and, you know, what a championship would mean to them coming for this year. Because the realistic part was, unfortunately for Liverpool, the last handful of years, 6 years, would you say? I mean, right before COVID.
Yeah.
When Jurgen got there and had that rebuild and they won a Champions League and they won a Premier League. Unfortunately for them, the time that they were also having some of the most successful players and successful time for them, City were there. You know,
yeah, right.
I mean, it was just, they took him down to the wire. Was it 96 points in 97 one year?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that was insane craziness. But the one guy who's been rock steady through that entire thing has been Mo Salah. And we talk about his contract and if he's going to be up for another contract at Liverpool and why wouldn't you re-sign him and look at what he means to the club. But I mean, my God, that guy is just, he's incredible to watch.
Yeah. Liverpool is up 11 points on second place with 11 games to go.
Good, bad job out of Arsenal this weekend, too. Dropping three against the Hammers.
Yeah, can't have that happen. If you're trying to keep pace, right? Yeah. But that's just not a game you can drop if you're trying to catch up to
Shocker.
Liverpool. Mo Salah, though, 30 goals, 21 assists. 30 goals, 21 assists. So he has now contributed 51 goals total.
This calendar year.
Not this season. This calendar year, right? Which is impressive. He became the first player in Europe's top five leagues to surpass 50 direct goal involvements. It says this season. So is that wrong?
I don't feel like they've been able to play enough games for him to have that this season.
Well, I agree with you. Maybe they must mean in like the year. That's still an incredible amount either way. But he also has in the Premier League, it's in this here. Yeah, that's right. In this Premier League season. So he has 50 goal contributions in all competitions.
Yeah.
But in the Premier League, he has 25 goals and 16 assists for 41 goal contributions.
Oh, so that it is this season. It is not calendar year.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
So he's only two away from tying the club record of gold contributions in a season.
That's good as toast.
Who's that guy?
It's gotta be Luis Suarez.
It is. Yeah. He had 43 in 2013-2014 seasons. So you would think Mo Salah will surpass that. Salah is, I still can't believe he's only 32.
I know.
Does that sound like that's not possible. It sounds like he should be much older than that.
I'll tell you this much.
It feels like it anyway.
When he went to Turkey to get that hair replacement, he looks way better and younger. Because he was looking like he was 37, 38
for the last couple of years. Yeah.
I don't know where he went. This is, again, just wild speculation on my part.
Turkey is one of the places people go.
He got something done with his hair. He looks magnificent. He looks like he's 32 now.
Good for him.
Yeah.
No, it's
32.
Well.
Do we look similar?
No, I got to say you don't. You don't look
very similar. It's the facial hair.
You still look much younger just because you always have looked younger.
Opposite effects with me and Mo Salah.
Yes, that's right. That's the case.
Where do you put him as like all-time Premier League guy? Because he's right up there for me.
Well, here are some that's a good question because there are some names here that he is getting close. I mean, I don't know if he's going to hit these numbers right in a Premier League season. The most goal contributions in a single Premier League season, Alan Shearer and Andy Cole both have that record.
And he's on 41. Mo's on 41.
Yes. 47 is the record.
Okay.
Okay. Alan Shearer is one of those guys that, like, I hold in very high regard, former Newcastle player, right? But then you look at who else is in this list. Luis Suarez had 42 in 2017-2018. So that's another name he would surpass, which, again, he's also going to surpass when he gets to 43 because he did that in 2013. Thierry Henry, 44.
All-time guy.
Right. I mean, it's like, styles of play, right? Thierry Henry was more of just a master of, like, close spaces and just doing some things on the ball.
He was a maestro.
Yeah, and I enjoy, like, just personal preference, I enjoyed watching Thierry Henry slightly. I mean, I'm saying these are fractions of degrees that I enjoyed him better watching him play than say Mo Salah, but no, most Mohamed Salah to me is in that league where he is with all of those guys I just mentioned and then some.
It's crazy how he hasn't won a Ballon d'Or.
No, you're right. This will be another time on the podcast where I out of nowhere bring up my guy Luka Modric, but
Luka Modric got one.
I know he did, but that's the thing people say about him is like, he got that one, and then it was like Ronaldo or Messi for like 10 years of his career, where if it was any other era where those two guys weren't there, he probably has at least another one or two. And probably Mo Salah has at least one, I would think, at some point, right?
He's a young man. He's only 32.
Still could get one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be a year where he's definitely going to be in consideration.
I think he has to be. Right? Like, you've got to be the favorite.
Yeah, right. At this point. So this might be the time for him, right? Because now those guys have cleared out.
And especially, I mean, if they go on to win the league, which they've got 11 games left. If you can't defend an 11-point lead over Arsenal at this point, like, that's a bad job. You've crumbled. Something has happened at Anfield. And then, like, God knows what happens to them coming up in the Champions League.
Of course. Yeah,
I mean, nice little double for Liverpool, and all of a sudden it's like he's a guaranteed to win the Ballon d'Or.
I think you're right. They have to win a trophy probably for him to win that award.
Well, they're getting one at least.
You would think
they're playing
the
in a Carabao Cup final too.
Well,
that's fair.
I mean,
to get three.
Let me say, I feel like the Premier League and the Champions League are real trophies. Carabao Cup is like, that's nice.
Unless you win it, then it's like, that's a real trophy.
Oh, no. Well, and it depends on who you are, too. Like, if you're the Shrimpers and you win it, I mean, my God, it's a great trophy. If you're Liverpool with all the things that are on the table for them, if that's the only thing they come away with, I think they would say, we could have done more.
FA Cup, very different than the Carabao Cup.
Yes. Yes, FA very Cup, different. Much different. I would count that as a real, like, a big trophy. Carabao Cup is a fine trophy. It's just not the same thing. But either way, I think if they win the Premier League and he breaks the numbers that he's poised to break, then that's probably where that's going. But yeah, just enjoy it. Like I've talked about, I've gushed over him for years after watching him for 45 minutes live. It's like one of the greatest 45 minutes I've ever seen of any soccer player physically in front of me I've ever seen.
This guy's the best.
It was preseason and he was warming up. Like, I mean, it wasn't even like he was giving, but it didn't look like it. It looked like he gave you the type of effort he would have given you in December or January in the Premier League
and
if he had to.
Run.
Yeah, like it looked like he was doing everything he needed to do in that game. And they took him, and then 45 minutes, and he's done. But that's the most impressive performance I have ever seen.
If you had to wager the vast Bone estate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On 0, 1, 2, or 3 trophies for them this season, what would it be?
Is this an exacto where I have to get it exactly right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking what you think of them right now. Because Carabao Cup Final, middle of March against Newcastle. Newcastle's first time in a long time be playing in a game where they can get a trophy.
Yeah.
You look at Champions League, first leg for them coming up against PSG is next week or the week after. So, that's their first leg that they drew for Liverpool was PSG. And then they have an 11-point lead now remaining in the Premier League. Already out of the FA Cup, they lost to Plymouth Argyle. So, they can't win 4.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say the safest bet is to say 2. Because I feel like
Carabao Cup
is happening, and then Premier League is probably happening. Champions League is just its own wild beast. Yeah. I don't think you can really look at that. That's a lot more like March Madness than it is like what these other, like, I mean, I agree with Mike Greenberg has said this for years, guy who used to host Mike and Mike back in the day, that it is a terrible way to settle who the best team is by having like a playoff, having a tournament. The best way to measure it is what the Premier League does, where you just play everyone twice, home and away. Everyone's got injuries. It's cold. It's wet. It's whatever. And then you just see who's the best at the end of all that.
Yeah.
That is the truest test of who the best team in the world is, because I think that league is the toughest league in the world. Liverpool is going to win that, barring a massive collapse. So to me, that is Champions League comes with more prestige, because then you've won and you've had to go head-to-head with all these other teams, but I just don't think that's the same competition. To me, the Premier League is the truest test of who the best team in the world is, and yes, unfortunately, Real Madrid and Barcelona and some of these other teams, obviously around Europe, don't play in that, so they're not eligible for it, but that format, to me, tells you the most. And so I do think Liverpool winning that is, I know they want the Champions League, and they should, but that's the one that you do that, and I'm thoroughly
impressed. It's going to pain me to say this. I think they're 1-3. I think they're going to do it.
No, I mean, they absolutely, I mean, don't get me wrong. They're the best poised team to do it. We have seen Manchester City have trouble in that Champions League.
Well, they had trouble last week. They got their ass kicked out of it.
That's right. Yes, but I'm saying, like, even when they were at their height, you know, of their powers, we saw them struggle sometimes in that competition. So it's like that, it doesn't always tell you who the best team in the world is. It tells you who's got the right momentum at the right time. Now, I say that as someone who is, you know, also rooted for Real Madrid, who wins that thing a lot. And I mean, I think that
you're a Madridista.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Like their chances, it's the Madrid Derby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We got to. That's your favorite team to watch play. Madrid.
I hate them. I can't stand them. You know me. I'll cheer against it. They honestly, outside of like Liverpool and City, they're right up there.
Yeah.
I don't
blame
stand them.
Yeah. Diego Simeone, not your guy.
Yeah, witchcraft. I hate it. The dark arts. Can't get behind it.
For those of you who only watch MLS, picture if Caleb Porter was like, had some of the best players in the world and just was like, how ugly can we make this game?
Make it like a Jose Mourinho, Caleb Porter mix, but worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those two and Diego Simeone. Like, could you imagine if the three of them ever got control of like a national federation?
If they just
ran Brazil, let's say. Let's just say you put all three of them. Right. Could you imagine how like the soccer world would be like, no, they're one of the most beautiful flair-based teams in the world. They do everything so
great,
beautifully. It doesn't always win them games, but it's so fun to watch. And then if it was like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to beat the crap out of you for 85 minutes and hope for one goal.
Can't stand it at all.
A lot of empty bucket, a lot of just, ugh. But that's, hey. It's been effective. All those guys I mentioned have won lots of games in their various leagues they've played in. So, yeah.
I can't believe I just said Liverpool's going to win the treble. That's a pretty bad feeling.
You hate them as much as anyone in the Premier League, at least. Right?
Oh, yeah.
In the world? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard with Liverpool because I love their players. Like Virgil.
Oh, yeah.
I love Virgil.
Virgil's an all-time player.
All-time defender. I think Trent's really good. I think sometimes he can get his ass outworked.
Like, of course.
Don't get me wrong on that. I think he's a fantastic player. I think Cody Gakpo and
You've been on
Sobisly,
Cody Gakpo for a long
Cody's
time.
Cody's my guy. I love him. And then Mo Salah. Yeah. If Darwin Nunez put in half the balls where he had the opportunities to, they would have already won plenty. Like, his positioning, watch him play. And I know that Arnie this week, like, came out. He's like, we need better. Like, yes, you do. His positioning is like a 99. In the position all the time. He just can't finish. I like them as, like, self-comprised individuals. I think they're awesome. Like, they are fun to watch.
But they all wear a shirt that you
Correct.
Absolutely hate.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I will tell you, like, as someone who just kind of floats around the Premier League and picks my teams here and there, they're a team that, like, I love their gear. I love their logo. I love everything about that club. I've enjoyed it. But I won't bring myself to buy something of it because of our friendship. Yeah. I don't want to come in here. That'd be like, you know, if we were best friends, if like, one of our best friends just came in wearing Michigan gear. It's like, you know we love Ohio State.
Here.
Why are you doing that? I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah, I know.
But
Thank
they
you.
Have.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's why I haven't done it. But the jersey I would buy of, like, any soccer player in the world, there's two guys' jerseys that I need
Luca
to have.
Luka Real jersey.
And Mo Salah. Like, that's the jersey
Man,
I would
your
own.
Boy Vinny to the curb. I thought you loved him.
But I don't want to just have a bunch of Real Madrid jerseys. I want to have a variety.
What about
I wanna...
an Egypt Mo Salah jersey?
Now, that would that be allowed?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
then,
absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be good. Because then, or yeah, I could do that. I would 100% go with that. No problems. Yeah. My buddy Sam Fahmy is from Egypt.
What about a Chelsea Mo Salah jersey? An old school one.
Yeah, I don't want to have to answer the questions. Like, oh, you an old school Chelsea fan?
No
not at all.
I just like the shirt.
Not at all.
And I wasn't allowed to buy a Liverpool jersey.
Yeah. My podcast marriage will not allow me to do that. So trying to keep the relationship going.
My buddy Joe, American Joe, you know mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah.
He had been getting rid of a lot of, like, United stuff. And I procured for future Willie.
Yeah.
Procured from him a old school United shirt. And it's not really old school. I guess it is now because I'm – had been like the 2007 or 2008 season when United wore the black jerseys with like the racing stripes down
yes,
the back.
Yes, 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 yes.
I got a Wayne Rooney number 8 jersey from Joe that has directly gone into future Willie clothes box because it's like a medium. Like, that's not fit
Perfect.
Me at all at any time. But I got that. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's like one of the best looking shirts that I have. And every time I go down in my basement, I want to, like, open up that box and look at it. That's
Isn't
that
how
great? Good it is.
Yeah. It's fun to get stuff. Now, a lot of my vintage crew stuff, like back in the day when I was like an XL, I would buy, like, if I could find an old crew jersey, old at that time,
yeah.
let alone now, I would grab it and be like, well, it's a medium, but you never know. Maybe I'll fit into it or maybe Melissa will want to wear it or something. And so I have like a handful of jerseys that will probably never fit me. But I'm at the point where it's like my oldest is 14. My middle one's 11. And they love wearing jerseys to school or to games and stuff. And it's like, I've got some jerseys now that are close to fitting them, or they can, like, you know, do a little hair tie on it and make it fit. But yeah, that's a fun thing when the kids can start to wear the jerseys and you can, and of course you and I both have collected jerseys over the years.
Yeah, I've got tons.
Right. And it's like, by the time Willie gets old enough to
this
wear
Jay
them.
Jay Cutler jersey is going to look awesome on you.
As a high schooler or whatever. Yeah. And he's like throwing that on. People are like, oh my gosh, a Jay Cutler jersey.
Devin Hester
that?
Jersey.
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Of course.
I have a Dan Hampton jersey from my dad.
Oh my gosh.
So that one's cool.
Yeah.
And that one's like up on the shelf.
Right.
That
you
one
don't want
doesn't
that
come
one.
Down.
You don't want
for,
that one to get frayed yeah. or anything, of course. U.S. Women's National Team, by the way, they're going to play for the She Believes Cup title once again. They beat Australia 2-1 in the second game of the tournament. They had a late goal that came in, but didn't really matter. Emma Hayes, head coach for the U.S. National Team, had to make a lot of changes there, wanted to make a lot of changes because they played Colombia on Thursday, and they wanted to get, you know, as much as they could out of this game, get the first goal, have a cushion. They got the first goal in 41 seconds in yep. this game. Emma Sears made the run and then played an overlap to Jaden Shaw. Shaw cut it back towards the goal, and Lynn Biondolo, formerly Lynn Williams, tapped it home. So, nice.
I think we're
going to win. Good team goal
there. I think this job out of Emma Hayes has been...
Well, she's the right coach.
Well, yeah,
after
like
that World Cup debacle,
world, yeah.
you had to do something, and
yeah.
they have. They have responded in tremendous fashion, so... Now,
And Japan kicked Australia's butt, too. Like, Japan beat Australia 4-0. So it should be fun tonight.
Yeah, that'll be... What you said, it's a 10:30 game?
10:30 kick. I think it's in San Diego. I think the final's in San Diego.
All right. Well, stay up late to watch it if you can. Should be a good one. Or Diver it.
I've pulled up the picture of the Rooney jersey.
That's a nice Rooney jersey.
It's just straight up classic black. Like, yeah. It's got the old school Barclays Premier League logo on the side.
Willie's going to be rolling into school, and just people are going to be like, oh my gosh, this guy is so cool.
He's the best.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he'll probably grow up a Liverpool fan if his uncle Mike Bennett has anything to say about it. Pretty sure that's why Mike chose Liverpool.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That tracks with like what I know about most football players. It's like, oh, what's the thing I can do to annoy my friends?
That's what I did to my friends.
Yeah.
And choosing United because they were all Arsenal fans.
Look at
that. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just cheer for the other team.
What sport did you play in high school?
Football.
It tracks 100%. Tracks 100%.
Are you typecasting us?
Yes. 100% am. Football players
all
kind of have like a hive mentality for the most part. I'm not saying all of them. You've broken out of it. You're not a jerk now.
Thank you.
You don't play football anymore.
Used to be.
No, but you stopped playing football and look at how you changed. Became a great guy.
Sometimes. I told you if I was a billionaire, I still wouldn't share any of my money. So some of that is still
You would
there.
Share it. You would share a little bit. You'd give it like, if I was like, please all my kids get to college, you would okay, see? There you go. That's all I have.
It's because you're on my team though.
I am. I would be on your team.
I would also use a lot of it to like burn people to the ground.
Well, depending on who it
is. If you have wronged me in the past.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Get ready to just live in your own personal hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I can think. I know some people who have wronged you that I could see. Yes, I could absolutely see that. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Enjoy all the soccer and go Crew. We'll talk then.